Hey y'all, this is the Rad Renaissance Racers, and today we are going to be talking about how the scientists of the Renaissance period affected Europe. My name is Grady Colbeth.
I'm Brenna Hollingsworth.
I'm Emily Liesenfeld.
Mia Jackson.
And let's just go ahead and get into it. So I'm going to start with my question, and my question was, how did Gutenberg's printing press affect the world of literature and the rest of the world as it is? So what I found through this whole research process was, one, that Gutenberg surprisingly didn't get a lot of success from all of this.
Really?
Yeah, no, it was like hardly anything, in all honesty. And he wasn't even the one that came up with the idea. It was just the Chinese way back when.
I mean, I've never really heard of his name until we started this project, so I guess that's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard of the printing press, and obviously it's like, it's helped everything. It's literally helped the world of literature. It's helped us to be able to read and write better.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And help us to express our thoughts. Like, sitting in the library with all the books, like, that's a whole nother thing, is all these things have came from, like, the printing stuff that's... over the years.
Exactly. But, like, sitting in a library full of thousands of books, or being able to go to the public library, that's influenced our learning, influenced our education, just everything in general. Even just growing up, it's shaped us so much and helped us evolve even just as people.
Yeah, I mean, it's we use books in every day. We read every day.
Yeah, we really do.
You
just
literally
signs.
Have to read. You have to read to have to be able to live.
Exactly.
Even to do the simplest things, such
to
as
an
tell
extent.
Times. To an extent, yes.
To be a
successful human.
Citizen of society.
Yeah, then you have to be able to. But one thing that I also learned that was kind of surprising is his partners, like, tried to sue him for the idea. Like, they tried to take his success, even though they helped him make it, they tried to take his success from him and take it for their own.
So did he have more than one success?
I mean, I don't know, not even really, because he didn't really have that much success with the printing press. That's what I'm trying to say, is people didn't really learn about him doing it until later on, because it was such a, obviously, like, writing, like, the printing process for them took a long time as it was.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that was another thing of him just having to take that. And that just really shows that, like, even in today, just because you do something
doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and I've learned that in my life tons when I do stuff, and sometimes other people take credit for it.
Exactly.
And sometimes you can fight for that like he did. And he fought, but he didn't win, of course, but...
Yeah, like, when I think of reading, I don't think of somebody who invented the printing press to be able to... For me to be able
to
read.
No, if you think about a good book, you don't really think about what's being...
Exactly.
...printed on the pages. You think about what was, like, you read in between the lines and, like, everything that's coming
so, like,
out of the book.
Yeah, so, like, it's awful that he didn't get the credit that he probably deserved.
Yeah,
but it has
a lot, too.
Yeah, but it definitely did affect us today by being able to have all this knowledge and being able to write something down and have it years and years later.
Yeah, I think that's kind of true. So, Brenna, do you want to go ahead and do your question for us, too?
Yeah, so my question was, what were Leonardo da Vinci's inventions and how did they affect the world today? So I picked, like, a couple inventions that Leonardo da Vinci just kind of created or thought or sketched, and how it, I just went into detail about how they affected the world. So one of them was a robot. Like, he didn't invent the robot, but he definitely had the sketches and ideas, and he made, I think, at least one. So what he did was, he had a fascination for like, just human anatomy and the body and how limbs and joints worked, and so that really helped him come up with a robot, and it was able to stand and sit down and even just move its jaw. And that really affects us today, because we have so much machinery that we are able to use that benefits us, like typewriters that we're able to be evolved to computers that we use every single day.
We did all of our research
on
computers.
All of our research on a computer, because of all of these mechanics that he went into. I mean, he's not the major contributor, but that's something that he did that affected us today.
Yeah, no, obviously not, but that's something that's a really big thing. And when you said something about robots, it reminded me of something 2 years ago back at my old school. They had the Oklahoma City SWAT team come in.
Really?
And they brought in one of their bomb robots to help that would...
Exactly.
Like,
robots have really just helped us today.
Yeah, because they're also... They're easier to... let me think of the word that I'm trying to think of.
So you know those robot things that are one more with a scan for inventory.
Yeah, exactly.
Those help the store so they don't have to go through that.
Exactly. It makes our lives efficient, which is a lot of Da Vinci's inventions were actually to make things more efficient, like the machine gun. That's something that I did as well.
Driving cars? Are we going to talk about that? That's a big robotic thing. I mean,
watches.
Yes, I mean,
iPhones.
Watches, definitely. But those things like that, like cars, have definitely just been evolved throughout the years. I'm talking about Da Vinci's like original ideas. Yeah. Like going back to the machine gun, like he had an original sketch and it was a 33 barrel. It wasn't necessarily like a gun. It just shot individually, but not like rapidly, and then just rotated. Like we have machine guns nowadays, but they're not exactly
like
that.
Yeah, they're automatic.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're very automatic. So Da Vinci's ideas of the machine gun have evolved over time, but they have helped us, you know, be better in warfare, you know, being able to protect
ourselves. Yeah, it's been a good and bad thing.
Exactly. That also brings up the tank. He also drew a sketch of the tank, which his was, again, it was much different than what we have now. It was like circular, had cannons around it, and it was like wood and metal. Nowadays, you know, we took that idea and we evolved upon it, and now we have ways to protect ourselves while we go into battle. It's pretty
cool
crazy.
Idea how everything evolves so much.
Exactly, but it all started somewhere, and that's something that Da Vinci helped us with, is he came up with the idea in his head, and then we moved forward with it. That's why we probably couldn't have survived without these scientists coming up with all these sketches, inventions, and stuff, and then us growing upon it.
Okay, Mia, so let's let you get going. I'm sorry, Emily.
So my question was, what was Nicolas Cusa's contribution to the Renaissance philosophy? So Cusa was very experimental, and he became a little more famous after he died because people would find all of his like inventions and what he studied and adopted.
Did he like write them down and sketch them, or did he like actually make physical things?
He made physical things. Like, he studied plant growth, and I don't think he ever, like, drew stuff down. He was just kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put it together, and this is what I think it is.
All right. Felt that.
Yeah.
He was very, very into wanting people, and just him in general, to know more about God and the universe and, like, how, like, it all just,
so
like, comes
spiritual.
Together. Yeah.
They were all really spiritual. That was really, like,
that was a big thing.
God-driven time, especially because that was wasn't around, but in that area was like the 95 thesis thing.
Exactly.
And that was kind of going on, and that kind of expanded from that too as well.
Yeah, it made people question and then made them have ideas. It's kind of like the Enlightenment period, almost.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it kind of goes into that, but
that's one thing I think is really funny about this whole like Renaissance period too, is a couple of them were famous during the time, but a lot of them weren't, and it wasn't until later on, and we look back in time, and then we figured out everything that they were doing.
Yeah, like, we would have never known all this unless we went back in time, because of how much the world has changed from then.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to go back to the roots.
He also wrote a lot of books on God and unfolding the creation of the universe and stuff like that. And he was a big mathematician and astronomist. Well, he liked to experiment with astronomy and stuff like that.
Did he learn anything like crazy about astronomy?
Not that I saw when I was researching.
But he just had a fascination. It was just kind of a hobby of his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool.
And he just like experimented with that type of stuff.
Yeah, but even just that, it can help us nowadays with just thinking about stuff like that. Because if they didn't think about that, if they didn't have those hobbies, we wouldn't have the knowledge that we have today.
Cut to Emily's sticker on the back of her computer. Just found out that the world doesn't revolve around me. Shocked and upset.
Exactly.
That's really good. But, okay, Mia, do you want to go ahead and wrap us up?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my question was, how did Johannes discoveries of planet motion help European astronomers?
All right, so it's all about astronomy and how he figured that out.
Yeah.
Wish I would have taken an astronomy class.
Astronomy, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems really cool.
One of his, like, most popular accomplishments in astronomy was his three laws of planetary motion, which were actually used by Isaac Newton to develop his theory of gravity.
Yes. see, like, see you go back to the roots, and it really just makes you think in how much, you know, it went from scientists to scientists to philosophers, and just everything just developed over time.
Well, and unlike, like, who Brady researched, he actually got honored by NASA.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you think, like, NASA uses him a lot.
Exactly.
Especially with,
exactly,
like, his...
astronomy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, with the whole gravity thing, they wouldn't know how to figure out, like, how to get spaceships to the moon or someday Mars at some point.
Yeah, it all goes back. It all goes back.
And it's, but, like, so the crazy thing is, like, he was so good at, like, astronomy, but he actually was offered a job from a, like, university in, like, a different... place. I don't remember where, but he apparently was like a really bad teacher, which is like actually surprising just because it seemed like he was so good at something but couldn't teach it. And that just shows that a lot of people also can be good at something but can't teach it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like we can have things that we're interested in, we can expand upon those, but it doesn't always mean that we're going to be able to relay it. So, you know, people write it down, they make sketches, they have inventions to display and model that.
It's the evolution process.
Exactly. That's what we're really talking about, is how all of these scientists and philosophers really affected us today. Everything just evolves and it grows. The world is constantly evolving.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's gonna continue.
You just have to. Sometimes you have to go back to the roots, and you have to really appreciate how much they have affected us and how much they've helped us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening in. Bye.